Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Ellen.
I'm Anissa.
My name's Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
Hey, everybody. It's Ellen.
And Anissa.
This is Anissa and Ellen Raw. And this is Raw.
It's Raw, baby.
We're coming to you from Atlanta, and we're so excited.
We are so excited. Our vision for the Raw movement is... more than anything, we really want to allow other women to tell their story. So we will be interviewing women from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some will be in the fitness world and some won't. Well, and just being able to share their stories in the hopes that hearing how their journey towards authenticity, mm-hmm. in whatever that means for them, inspires and gives space and permission for the rest of us,
right.
to own that part of ourselves.
Right.
Hi, everybody. This is Ellen.
I'm Anissa.
And this is Anissa and Ellen Raw. So in today's episode, which is our official second episode.
I can't even believe it.
I know. That's so
crazy. Two episodes already. Amazing.
Before you know it, there's going to be like 1,000 episodes.
I was thinking
that loving it.
I was actually thinking the 50th episode.
Yes.
Because Ross started the 50th year,
that
our
true.
50th episode will have to have an amazing guest on.
Yes.
And yeah,
we'll
it's going
to
be amazing.
It.
Yeah, for
Wouldn't
sure.
It be, yeah. It would be great if it was like LL Cool J.
Oh my gosh.
Brian, do you have the hookup?
Yeah, you're going to hook us up with that. Some LL Cool J.
So today is kind of special because we're actually going to introduce mm-hmm. somebody to you that is going to be, that you're going to get to know very well.
Yes.
She'll be in future podcasts. She'll be helping us a little bit.
She's part of the Raw team.
Yeah, she's part of Team Raw.
Team Raw.
And her name is Christina. And so we're going to introduce Christina. Can you say hello?
What's up?
So we're going to introduce Christina today. We're going to start by... telling you
she's a Royer.
Yeah, she's a Royer.
Proudly wears her Royer. That's what we call the people in our tribe. They're Royers.
I can't say it. Royer.
So it's Raw, like warrior.
Warrior.
Royer.
Yeah.
RAWIOR.
Royer.
Royer.
Anyway. I don't know what we're going to be spelling today.
Well, get it right. No.
So I'm going to tell you, let's introduce her from our perspective,
how
we met her, and then we'll let her talk a little bit. We're going to ask her some questions. But
I love it.
I met Christina almost 2 years ago at the gym. She was training with one of our PTs who's also an instructor. And I think I remember coming, I knew about you. He had told me that he was going to try to get you into our classes, but I think I remember coming around, you were training with him and I needed to tell him something and I hated to interrupt and I was standing there talking to him and you were standing right there. And then we finally got you into our cycle classes and then that was it from there. Mm-hmm. Like seriously, then she was everywhere, which we love.
Yeah. And I met Christina through Ellen. So
right.
I was trying to think about, God, how did I meet Christina? And it was definitely through Ellen. And then when I was in training at the gym, a personal trainer, which I no longer do, but when I was there, I would see you out on the floor with your trainer and working hard and getting after it. And but it wasn't really, my connection did not come with Christina until Raw.
So it was meant to be. Like completely meant to be. And so when we started the group fitness or when we started the Raw page, she has been one of our most outspoken participants, you know, contributors. She's comments a lot. She brings a great perspective. She's 39.
Sheesh. I'm just kidding.
No, we're Raw, baby.
So she gives us here's the difference between Christina and us. So she's 39. She's from El Paso, Texas. She's Mexican American. She has two small children.
She has little bits.
Little bits.
Yep.
Three.
Well, she's got, that's right. I forgot about it. So she's got how old is he?
Rigo
is 18. I keep forgetting about Rigo.
Because he graduates.
Yeah, because he's graduating and then she's got two small ones who are precious.
Mm-hmm.
I completely like her. So she just brings a different perspective to our team. She's got a lot of energy. She's hysterical. She's not, she's completely.
She's one of the most outspoken. Right. So here's the neat thing about Christina, because I truly think that this is a rare thing indeed.
Right.
Usually when you meet someone who is as outspoken as Christina is, they're quite frankly a bitch. And,
and I am.
No, but she's not. She's
really
that.
Not.
That's the interesting thing about her is she is the most vulnerable, caring, humble person you will ever meet, but with some sass behind it.
Yeah,
so
she is.
It's a really interesting combination of friend, because she is not the friend who is going to tell you. Sometimes you'll hear what you want to hear, right? Because it's
right.
honest. But she's also brave enough, because I truly think it's mm-hmm. bravery to be able to tell a friend what you really think and deliver it in a way that you care about them.
Right.
That it's positive, mm-hmm. but it's still to the point. Like,
right.
you need to work on that. Or
she's done that several times.
You might want
to
think about that. Or, mm-hmm. you know, but that's just.
She listen. She,
that's why she's here, because quite frankly, she is that.
You can. The point of this is you can get folks who say, I'm authentic, I'm real, I'm raw, I'm going to be honest. Yet, you know, they post the 50th selfie that they took because they've looked at 49 and they just don't look right.
Mm-hmm.
Or they try to be as awesome.
Post the perfect thing on Facebook, you know, with their marriage or this, that, and the other, when I know what you really say about your husband.
Right. Or you have this one persona, and then behind the scenes, you're not as honest as you want people to think. You're trying to portray to them that this is you honestly, and then behind the scenes, like, it's totally different.
Right.
Christina is exactly who she is.
Yes.
What you see is what you get. And that's what we love.
Yep. And so let's introduce Christina.
Yes.
Let's chat about her a little bit. So I don't know. Do we want to start by,
let's ask her.
Let's start. Why don't you start and maybe talk a little bit about, what attracted you to Raw?
Well, first I just wanted to say that I feel like I'm the unofficial official little sister tag along, and you guys are like the big sisters, because whenever I needed something, I'm like, hey, and then here I am tag along like a big old puppy, like, ah.
We love it. That's
you. Anyways, so when right around the time when you guys were starting the whole Raw thing, and you guys were advertising like your little teasers and stuff, I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? Like, what's this shit? Because remember, I had gotten to the point where I think I started going to the gym. It was like September or so. And I got into the spin class, and I was really going at it, and I was hitting the training hard and whatnot, and I was really into it. And then I befriended you guys on Facebook, and I just like was sucked in into y'all's world of the motivation and of accountability and the no nonsense, you know, how you guys put everything out there. And when I saw that you guys were doing it, I'm like, okay, these bitches are up to something. What the fuck is it? And I was like, okay. So I kept on like, hey, Ellen, what's going on? I was trying to be all nice, like, hey, what's going on? And then I was like hitting TJ up. What the fuck are they doing? Like, what is it? Like, is it a club? Like, you know, what are we going to do? Is it a new class? Because I for real thought it was like a new class is going to be coming on. And I was so excited. And the thing, too, is because it was right, you guys started doing it right after that one Spartan class, that intro.
We did.
And I just fell in love at that point. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. The Spartan class was, like, the best thing ever.
It was so much fun.
And then
so
now you guys are doing this. Like, oh, my God. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, I really got to behave and, you know, do this. and then here you guys come up with, oh, this thing. And at first I was like, what? No, I don't want to do this. And then you guys started talking more about it. And
right.
Then, because at first, I was a little bit confused because I felt out of place. Because it kind of started with the whole, I'm dealing with menopause thing, da-da-da-da.
Right.
And at first, I took it like, well, maybe this is not for me because I'm not there yet. But then I had to take a step back. And I'm like, you know what? I need to listen to this shit because I'm going to be there eventually one day. And my mom is going to be starting, because she already started having signs of starting mm-hmm. menopause. So I just became sucked in the whole thing. So you guys would say like, oh, I'm having hot flashes. Oh, I'm doing this. And oh, you know, I'm sweating. It's hot. It's this. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then I'm talking to my mom. Hey, mom. Da, da, da. And then she's like, oh, man, this. And I go, oh, my God, my friends are doing the same thing. And da, 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 da. And then I got into the, like, I'm trying to live a whole non-pharmaceutical life, right? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I try to do everything holistic, because that's how I was brought up, to tell you the truth.
And you do.
You know, we mm-hmm. cured it. I believe in herbs and onions and garlic mm-hmm. and, you know, all that old school voodoo, and come to my house and you'll see it.
And you gave me the peppermint.
And I made you the peppermint spray.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then,
for my hot
so,
lashes.
Okay, story about the peppermint spray, because you mm-hmm. also gave me some peppermint spray.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. So that peppermint spray somehow exploded I think it was in my car or something. And my husband was like, seriously, was like, why have you been drinking schnapps in the car? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, seriously, that is schnapps. I'm like, I swear. I have not had anything. I have not had. And then it was the peppermint. Just now, I just thought about that. Yes. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that was your peppermint spray.
But the thing is, I kind of tweaked it a little bit, because instead of using, like, the vinegar, I use rose water, because I figured, oh, vinegar is going to kill the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And,
it was nice. It was, yeah, it was nice. So nice. Yeah. It was so lovely. So anyways. Tell us, because we know a lot about your story, so we want everybody else to know about your story. So tell us, what was the catalyst for you to really focus on self-care for yourself, like your well-being, instead of, you know, constantly, you know, going for your children and for your husband and for your family? But what was it that made you commit mm-hmm. to just really focusing on becoming healthy, your wellness, whatever that is?
Well, I think it all started when, so I had just moved to Atlanta from San Diego, you know, it was July of 2017. And before that, when I was in San Diego, I was working at this one job that I totally dedicated myself to, poured my heart and soul into it, because I figured, you know, they're going to see how good I am. They're going to value me. They're going to keep me on. They're going to let me work remote. I came up with this whole business plan of how we can do it and how it's going to keep on going, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're like, no, it's not going to happen. No, no, no. And I just fell into like this deep depression, and I started just eating my worries away. Mm-hmm. I've always associated food with comfort.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. you know, I love the sweets and, you know, the bread mm-hmm. and the tortilla. And not to toot my own horn, but I'm a pretty damn good cook.
You're a very good yeah. cook.
And
excellent.
You know, I make myself these plates and, you know, whip up something. Oh, I am craving this. I'm craving that or whatever. But in San Diego, it was really easy to go down to the taco shop mm-hmm. and get myself my California burrito, my carne asada fries, mm-hmm. my freaking rolled tacos and my big old horchata. And I'd sit there and just drink mm-hmm. my worries away, basically. And then, you know, also my husband and I, we were having some problems. He's in the military, so, you know, military life does take its toll on the marriage. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
you just
it
gotta
does.
Find your common it's ground. Tough. And, you know, we had our ups and downs, and I was just, like, at a point where I'm like, fuck this. Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm doing everything I can. Mm-hmm. I'm busting my ass at work, and that's not working. I'm busting my ass up to my marriage. It's not working. And, you know, what else? Like, I didn't even want to go there. Like, what else? And so finally, you know, I just said, fuck it. And then, so he got us a membership at the gym back in San Diego. And I was always coming up with excuses. No, I can't go today because I have to work late. And, oh, mm-hmm. no, this. And the kids have practice and whatever. Mm-hmm. And my husband's like, okay, whatever. Then I'm going to go and you stay behind and whatever. Because my husband is older than me. And he has to stay at a certain fitness level in order to stay in, because he wants to do his full 20.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's always at the gym. And I respect him for that. And I'm like, you do you, baby. And I'll sit here and get fat and do me. Don't worry about it. My ass will keep getting bigger, because that's what you like anyway. So, you know, just bend me over and we're good. But yeah, we got here, and because I drove cross country with the kids, and my dad came with me. We stopped in Pensacola because that's where my husband was in for training. And we got this beach house, and I was so excited to go and get into it and everything. And I had bought some lingerie, and I hadn't tried it on before. I just figured I'd put it on. I couldn't even fit into it.
Right.
Oh. That's how bad it was. And I was like, oh, shit. So I'm over here trying to, like, hook it up, and I couldn't. And my husband's like, what's wrong? Come on. Like, no, I can't. And for the longest time, like, I just get me from behind and get over with, you know?
Right.
And I just felt depressed. And then we moved here, and we signed up at the Y because it's part of the kids program, and we got a good deal, whatever. And I went in thinking, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to put my best foot forward. Because by that time, I was already 220. Mm. And I went in for a class, and these ladies there were vicious. Like, they're just like, oh, you can't be here because this is for people who know how to do this.
Right.
And you can't be here. And I'm like, fuck you. Watch me. Mm-hmm. And I did two classes, but I was just not feeling it. And then I said, well, let me try. I tried different classes that they had there that I was able to take at the time, with the exception of Zumba. No offense to the Zumba thing. It's just I can't get into it.
It's right? Just not your jam.
But outside of Zumba, catch me at the club, I'll be like, whoop, whoop.
I'm the same way. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
No, but yeah,
no Zumba for me.
And yes. You know, I told my husband, I can't do it. This club sucks. And, you know, and he felt the same way too. Cause you know, I'm not going to talk about that gym in general, but it was just not our cup of tea. And then, we tried a couple of other ones that are close to us cause we live right there in Johns Creek. And, none of them suited me until I ran across the club. And the moment I walked in, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, what's up? And I was like, yeah, okay. And then I got signed up with the free training, and I did it with the trainer. And he was a cool kid. You could tell he was young. And at the same time, I was like, this is my excuse. I can use him as my excuse to be like, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know what it was. He was just like, he gave me the most heartfelt pep talk. Like, he's like, look, you're not getting any younger. And I could see that, you know, you want to come out of your shell because this is not your shell.
Right.
Like, I could see a little hottie inside there, and I know you want to come out. So just let her come out. Why are you holding back?
So I want to ask you about that. Okay. So you're in San Diego, mm-hmm. and part of the catalyst is having the lingerie and putting it on and not being able to fit into it and eating your emotions, and all of those things are happening, mm-hmm. right? I want to know what about what wanted to come out. What is that?
So I have a very strong personality, and you guys know it.
Absolutely.
And I'm much more aggressive at work. You know, I'm in sales. Mm-hmm. And I've always been in male-dominated industry, so I've always had to fight harder and work harder and longer than my male counterparts to prove that I deserve to be in the same space as they were.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I wanted my inner bitch to match my outer bitch.
Right.
Okay.
And that's where I'm like, okay, these two are not communicating. One's like the softy loser, and the other one's like the dominant winner.
Right.
I want to be equal.
Right.
So you felt that there was a disconnect.
Yeah.
Between your outer form
mm-hmm.
and your inner being.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you were struggling to figure out where to get what to do to be able to become who you really are.
And I always had excuses, you know, and I always came back, with the kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now they're old enough that, you know, they're more independent because
right.
I help make them independent. And
right.
that's one thing that I've always wanted to do. And, I always put my family first before myself. I can go shopping and spend $200, no problem, not even blink, on the kids. But let me buy a $20 shirt and I feel miserable.
Right.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
So that's kind of the same way I felt about my fitness. I kind of felt like, well, they need to come first, and I need to make sure that they have my full attention, that I'm helping them with my homework, that I'm that parent, because my husband's not always around.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I've always had to play the mommy-daddy role since we started. And I knew what I was getting myself into when we first started dating. That's because we didn't even have kids at the time. Right. I only had my oldest at the time. And, you know, it was something that, you know, I didn't want at first, but then he's the one who pursued me and convinced me. And then, you know, here we are 10 years later. No, 12, 13, 14 years later. Shit. <God. laughs> And, you know, this wild ride. And another thing, too, is my family. I come from, you know, big lady family. You know what I mean? And diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, kidney disease. And my mom, she's a cancer survivor. Right. You know, she's got renal cancer, and she's in remission. And you know, the thing, I felt like a big hypocrite because I'm over here constantly on her ass, like, mom, you know, like, you need, because my mom gained a lot of weight, you know, and it's unhealthy weight for her condition.
Right.
And I'd be on her ass, like, mom, until finally I'm like, you know what? The hardest thing I ever did, and I remember I told you about it.
You did.
I had to sit back, and I remember I cried for like a whole day, and I was like so sad because I felt like, I said, you know what? If you don't want to do this for yourself, I can't do it for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can't be your mom. You're the mom. You have to be the mom.
Right.
And to this day, I don't see that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I had to think and say, you know what? Look at myself. Mm-hmm. How hypocritical am I? Look at me. I'm fat. Mm-hmm. And I'm judging my mom.
Right.
And I'm judging my sister. And I'm over here saying, oh, look at this fat girl, whatever. And here I am, not even skinnier than them. You know what I mean? And it's not so much that I want to be skinny, you know. I love my curves that I have now. I feel the sexiest I've ever felt since before, like, my husband. Because I was married before. This is my second marriage. And when I was going through the whole divorce of my first marriage, I went and got that revenge body.
Right.
And I had the tiny little waist. But that's the funny part is that I didn't have curves then either. I was just a straight up stick. It wasn't until after I had my daughters that I developed the Coke bottle figure, and I was like, oh shit, I have ass. I have an ass now. Like, I never had an ass before. And now, like, my husband loves it. He's all like, oh shit, babe. But, you know, how I am and feel now is completely different of what I used to see myself. And I just never had the self-confidence. I always gave off the image that I'm a confident bitch and I got this and blah, 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 blah.
But inside,
I was like, oh my God, I'm so insecure. And like, I can't do this.
So what do you think it is about? Because I share some of the same history. I previously, after the birth of my fifth, I weighed 180 pounds. I've done every diet you were talking about out in the parking lot, the Metafast. So I've done all of those things. And it wasn't until I got focused on my activity levels and really exercising that shift happened for me. What do you think, or do you think, what about the fitness part of it, the exercise part of it, do you think fuels that empowerment? What is that? What is it? What about it fuels it for you?
You know what it is? It's the high.
I get
this
more.
High, and I will quote Cher from Legally Blonde.
I know what you're going to say.
That people who exercise are happy because they have a lot of endorphins.
Yes.
And it's so true. And I have a very addictive, I guess, personality. I did meddle in the fine arts of the street medication when I was younger.
Damn.
Street meds.
I know. And
she
meddled
in it.
You know, I experimented. I did find myself that I was somewhat addicted to a certain one, and I pulled myself off. The high that I got from it was like nothing I've ever felt before, you know. And I'm always that person where if you challenge me, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Right.
And that's always been my fuel and my motivation. But I could never fuel myself to get my shit together and, you know, fix myself. You know what I mean? So after a few of your spin classes, I started getting that high.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the training too, because I trained with TJ for like 2-3 weeks, and then I got with Dwayne, who was amazing. And he was the one person besides you guys that will get in my face and be like, it's not going to lose itself.
Right.
Why are you half-assing your workouts? Why are you, you know, cutting yourself short? And I needed somebody to stand up to me because everybody's so afraid of me. They're so afraid to tell me, oh, you can't do this or do more or whatever, because they think I'm going to snap back. You know what I mean? And I needed that.
Right.
You know? And it's the rush. And then plus seeing how I was able to do more and more and more and achieve more things, it was like, oh shit, look at me, I'm doing this, and you know, I'm hanging in there, and you know, I learned so much about myself and my body and how to listen to myself, like what my limits are. You know, for my knee, I've always had a knee problems. And I used to suffer a lot of back pain from when I got the epidural with Santana, because he was my 10-pound baby, and I needed that. And they messed it up. So as I got, you know, the heavier I was feeling the knee pains, the back pains, and every kind of pain that you can come up with, I used to feel it. And it wasn't until I started losing the weight that I felt less pain. Mm-hmm. But more satisfaction, so I could push myself more.
You were talking about finding who you are and finding yourself. So I want you to tell everybody out there a story. And so before you tell this story, I'm going to preface it with last year, Anissa and I had every intention of doing a Spartan sprint because we took the Spartan certification to teach Spartan strong and the Spartan training classes. And one of the prerequisites or one of the things that you had to do was to do one of the races, and they give you a free race. So she and I had signed up for the race in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we're trying to get our Rorriers. I think I actually said that right.
Yeah. You did.
We were going to try to get as many of them to come with us and participate. And as time progressed, and it was probably mainly my fault because I just was battling fatigue so bad and was not able to work out. It kind of fell by the wayside. We actually canceled that one, and we're going to move it to the Spartan race here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So Christina was going to participate with us. And in the meantime, I'm teaching a Spartan Strong class at the gym. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of folks that are coming in and taking this class. So as the Georgia race, I honestly thought that because Anissa and I were not doing it, and that none of the other Rorriers who really had talked about it, that Christina would just bail.
Totally
bail. Okay. But she didn't. Well, not because she, yeah, not because she didn't want to do it, but we were really hyped in getting a group to go.
Right. Yeah.
And so we thought because there wasn't one that maybe she would not do it. I mean, I didn't even think anything about it. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, Christina's. We just hadn't talked about
it. Right. And I just thought, oh, well, yeah. Okay. We'll that just didn't happen and whatever. Yeah. And then out of nowhere
she
like
decided,
in the distance coming in yeah. on horseback.
Dun, 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 dun.
What is that?
She actually.
Oh my gosh.
She did.
Yes.
And she signed up for it. She paid for it. And she went. She took her family. There was another gentleman, I mean, there's a gentleman in my class, Kevin, who also did the same race.
Yep.
And his focus, his goal was to see how fast he could get that race done. So I think he and Christina hooked up. They figured out that they were going to both be there. Mm-hmm. So Christina brought her family, her husband, and two kids. And so I will let Christina tell you. Well, first of all, before she does, tell this one specific story about this, because this tells you about her. It tells a lot about her journey. It tells a lot it's a journey that I'm sure a lot of other women
can relate to.
Yeah, relate to. Kevin decided he was going to help Christina through this race. Like initially it was like, let's just go. But then he noticed that Christina was a lot slower than he was. And so he decided he was going to give up his goal of running as fast as he could through this race and just be with her, which is, he's a fucking badass for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's a phenomenal.
So you're talking about, if nobody knows about the Spartan,
I'm looking for a girlfriend for him.
I know.
Yes.
If you don't know anything about the Spartan race, it's like 30 obstacles and you know, it's grueling and you
fire,
go through mud,
water,
and water and all this kind of stuff.
And 50 degree weather.
Yes. And so Christina is, being followed by her family who is observing her, and there's this wall and there's a rope and you grab the rope and you pull yourself and you walk yourself up this wall and over the other side. So Kevin went up it and got over. So now, Christina, what happened to you?
So let me just rewind just a little bit. Uh-huh. When the club had the initial introduction to the training, I don't know what it was about it. I think it was like the camaraderie and the challenge to push yourself out of your comfort zone that attracted me to it, because that's kind of like what my personality is. And ever since that one class, like, I was hooked. And I was coming to that class religiously.
She was.
And I incorporated that class along with my training. Mm-hmm. And it pushed me to the edge. So for the race was in October. It was also my 39th birthday. Mm-hmm. And I told my husband.
On your birthday?
No, it was a week after.
The week after.
Okay.
And I told my husband, you know what? All I want for my birthday is the race. Mm-hmm. Pay for my registration. And he did. So that's what I got for my birthday. And we started off, we started off strong, Kevin and I. And I did take my time because there was a couple of obstacles that I was like kind of second guessing myself. And, you know, so that's when Kevin kicked in and said, you know what, I'm going to stay with you. And we stayed together up to the wall and throughout the whole thing. But when it came to this one particular wall, I went up the first time and I just, you know, my family was right there. I went up there. I was almost at the top and I lost my footing and boom, I slid down and I ate it. And then I stood back and I was like, okay, let me do it again. So I'm coming up again and I'm halfway up. And by that time, we had just come out of the mud pits.
Yeah.
And it's 50 degree weather and you're hot because you're running, and then you jump into, literally, there was ice floating in those pits. So you're floating in muddy, cold water, and then you come out of there and then you're trying to climb this freaking slanted wall of hell. And I was like, fuck. And then I was just like, you know what, fuck this. I'll do the burpees and get over it.
And Kevin said that he worried about her. Yeah. Because she had fallen at least two times and had hit the ground really hard.
Yeah.
And he told her, he was like, Christina, you don't have to do this. Please do not hurt yourself.
Yep. And I stood back and I literally took like five steps back and I was looking at that wall and I was at the point of tears. Like, I literally was going to just say, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not going to do this. It's too hard. Like, it sucks.
But,
and then I look over and my husband's standing there, and the whole time he's cheering me on. He's like, come on, you can do it. Like, get on this side and get on the side of the wall and look, it just do this. And like, he was guiding me. But then what really triggered me...
Tell the story, because it's going to make me cry. It's going to make me cry.
He pointed at my son, at Santana. Mm. And the reason he did that is because Santana has this habit, or he did have this habit of... he would start something and then quit. And he wouldn't see anything through, no matter what. He'd be like, oh, I don't want to do this, I quit. And, you know, we're trying to be positive parents, but at the same time, you know, we push him, but not to a point where he hates that task. And he was doing it, and he was like, and he had this look on his face, like, so worried, and he was concerned, and he's like, Mama, come on, you okay, Mama? And I was like, fuck. So I was like, I sucked it up, pulled my pants up, and I climbed that bitch wall. When I get to the top, I see Kevin, because he climbed through the other side to meet me up at the top. I swing my leg over and motherfucking Charlie horse kicks in. So I'm like, my leg straight up in the air. And I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck? And I didn't know what to do. And I was like, like I was hurting so bad. So I just like, I don't know what I did. I did like a booty move and I swung my ass over and I straddled that damn wall. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, my fucking legs are hurting. And my husband's like, ah, and I'm over here punching my leg, you know, like my calf to try to break this damn cramp. And then the obstacle people come up and they give me mustard packs and here, drink this. And nah, nah, nah. I'm like, ah, so then I see it and I look back and I see my son and he's like, oh my God. Like, you know, he gave me this look like, you did it. And I was like, oh my God. So after that, that's what it took to feel me. And I killed the rest of the race after that.
She did. I know, right? I love it. I had to post that on social. I had to tell everybody about it.
And because what's amazing is it was meant, yeah. And mm-hmm. it was also meant to be this group experience. So mm-hmm. I just even think like that's a testament to who you are. And not only that, but if you think about your journey, you talked about in the beginning being, you know, in San Diego and not putting yourself first, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And everybody, Ellen and I included, completely bailed on you, right? Mm-hmm. We all going to be doing mm-hmm. this race. We all were like, woo, woo, everybody sign mm-hmm. up. And then Ellen and I were like, tail between the legs. Nah, sorry, we can't do
like,
it.
Like, I
right?
was like, please don't ask me because right, I'm going to have to lie.
We just can't do it.
And just tell right. them I'm going right. to be out of town.
Right.
Like, seriously.
We just,
yeah, but
just,
the thing is, this, I already, sorry.
Yeah.
I already had that mindset that I'm going to do it because I told myself in 1 year, you are going to do the fucking obstacle because you did the class and I did it. And ever since that, I've been able to complete goals that I set for myself. Right. I said that I was going to lose X amount of pounds, and I have. I said I was going to do this race, and I have. You know, so it's little challenges that I put myself to do. I've been doing it, and I've been doing it because it's coming from inside. From it's myself fueling myself, and you know, pushing myself because I know. And then what makes it even better is that we'll be in class. I don't know if you remember, but that one class you taught like last week or the week before.
Ellen and I?
No, you took over for the hit when I was able to
make
it.
Yeah.
Right, the Saturn. Mm-hmm.
There was this one lady in there, and I think her name is Elena or something like that. And I saw her in the back, and she was struggling because she got these heavy-ass weights, and she was trying to do the combos. Remember the push of mm-hmm. the man-makers or whatever?
The man-makers. Mm-hmm.
And she was struggling. So after class, you know, I felt so confident that I went up to her and I go, hey, you killed it today. Good job. Don't quit. Whatever you do, don't quit. Mm-hmm. Just keep on coming. It's going to get easier. I was there before. You can do it. But just do easy weights.
Right.
Why? And I go, that's the biggest misconception. People think that heavier is better or that right. you couldn't come and do these classes with like 50-pound weights. You're some badass. And I go, but I'm sorry, honey, but you have the worst form ever. And you do not look hot. You look like a hot mess. That's all it is. But look at me with my 3 pounds and I'm like, what? Look at shit. Like, I love doing that because I can see the cuts. I'm like, look at my babies. They're coming in. And I'm like, yes.
And see, and that's it right there. That is exactly what I was saying. She went up to someone who she doesn't know right. well, delivered what she knew she had to say.
Authentically.
Mm-hmm. Authentically. Aww. But she started with, don't give up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're doing awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep coming. It gets easier. But yeah, let exactly. me tell you, you got to put the big weights down.
Exactly.
So you're a hot mess, yo.
But that's how we wish everyone in right. our life would be. Because mm-hmm. if you have someone who's just telling you what you want to hear, you're mm-hmm. never going to grow.
No.
You're never mm-hmm. going to be challenged to become your best self mm-hmm. if people keep applauding your bullshit.
Yeah. Right. And that's always been my struggle. It wasn't until I came here that I found my true support system and I was able to fully execute my goals because I never had that before from my family or even my husband. And I was telling you in the parking lot, you know, I was starting to lose all this weight and, you know, my husband wasn't telling me nothing, but yet he comes home from the gym and he's like looking at his arms like, oh yeah, look at me. I look good. Do I look good, babe? Oh, look, can you see my muscles? I'm like, yeah. And I go, damn, babe, you look good. And like, I get all up on him and I touch him and I'm like, damn, like, you know. And then I'm like, what about me? What about me? And he's like, fuck yeah, yeah. And I go, babe, that's what I need. Like, I need for yeah. you to tell me that. Like, you need to tell me fuck, babe, your ass is good. Or hey, you know, your arms, like, you know, just little things. Like, I don't, you don't have to tell me that I look beautiful because I know I look good. But I just need for you to tell me, like, little things here and there. And that was the thing. And my family, that's a whole nother episode. We'll talk about
yes.
that.
But yeah, I do want to delve into that because I do remember an instance that hurt you deeply, yeah. like deeply.
And then and that and almost caused me to quit, to tell you the
and
truth.
I want, and I don't want to, we don't have time now, but I do want, yeah. That's a great episode about support systems or mm-hmm. lack of support.
Yeah, we would definitely have.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. you have a really,
a couple of guests on
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, you have a very poignant story that I actually was somewhat involved in. But, so it's just, it's awesome to just sit here and watch you. And it's so funny because, you know, you're completely like the way you are sitting here mm-hmm. talking to us and the way that you express yourself, it's joyful.
I mean, it is.
It's just awesome to watch. But we are going to make you a little nervous. So we have rapid fire questions.
Right.
Shoot, baby. Shoot.
Three, you start.
Anissa, did you?
No. Do I get to ask Anissa, you this question?
No, did
you
know? I did that. I did that
Anissa,
outline.
Did you prepare?
No, I did the outline. Yes.
All right. So I will start.
Yes, you'll start. Three questions.
Three questions. Mm-hmm. Name your last embarrassing moment.
Mm. Yeah.
You guys' embarrassing
rapid
moments
fire.
Are like not my.
I have
embarrassing
so
moments.
Many. Like
last
I put,
one,
I put myself in so many situations.
Last one, the last, the most recent.
Oh God! I was taking a massive dump, and
tell it, girl.
Our bathroom at my house are connected. You know, I have my own bathroom. My husband has his.
This again.
And I thought he was still at the gym, and I don't know, he had come home. And I was in there laying it, like I was just ripping it. And then all of a sudden, you hear, ooh, and I was like, oh my God, get away from here. Do not listen to this. Like, I was finally having like the best shit ever. And he comes in and ruins it. Like, oh God.
Well, you want raw, get real, gosh. Get raw.
Oh my God.
Poop
gosh.
Emoji okay. everywhere.
Yeah. All right,
let's, I love that.
I'm literally dying over here.
What all is right. the, what's the best birthday gift you've ever received?
My Spartan registration.
Spartan registration?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Mexican food? Let me prep. What Mexican food do you cook the best?
Everything.
Name
I'm
one.
I'm coming to dinner.
No, for reals. I have not had one bad dish. Okay, so let me put this in the two-part answer real quick. My favorite food, like you can have me at this anytime, is a sandwich.
Just a sandwich?
My favorite is a sandwich. A fucking hell of a good sandwich that has toasted bread and has the meats and the avocado and the sprouts. And like, my first job was Subway, so I'm a Subway artist.
Oh,
I mean,
see.
I'm a sandwich artist. So
you're
I know
sandwich artist.
How to prepare a bomb ass sandwich. And my husband will tell you, she can make a sandwich. But to Mexican food, I learned from my grandmother, mm-hmm. you know, at a very young age. I was always in the kitchen, so I picked up on the traditional recipes and whatnot. So I guess you can say is my red chile
mm-hmm.
that I used for like enchiladas and menudo mm-hmm. and whatever.
Ooh, yeah.
But salsas.
Mm. All right. Anissa, do you have your questions?
Oh, I have to. I thought you were asking all three now.
No.
All right, here we
ask
go.
Ask her two.
So this is
two.
So interesting. I'm actually gonna do something intuitive here. So this mm-hmm. is not.
Okay.
I want to talk to you about your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So what's her name?
Agustina.
Mm. She little.
No, that's Nena, my grandma Nena.
Okay.
I also learned from her too.
Listen.
Which one is feisty? The.
Like
what? A
little bit of both. I guess the strong is from my grandma Agustina, but my grandma Nena was, she had this laugh. And Samantha's like a mini her.
Mm.
She, there's some faces that she makes that were like, I'll stop in my tracks and be like, hey, grandma.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So one of them
mm-hmm.
left something
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
In you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what that is that's in you. But you're holding too tight to it, and it needs to come out. And I don't know what that is, but there's some jewel. Like, I see it as a jewel, and it's sitting there. And whatever that is wants to come out. So I don't know how that's going to happen for you.
Okay.
And I don't know which one it is that it is. I don't think it's the laughter one. So the laughter one was the Nana?
And then
No, no, no. I think it's the other one. She left something for you inside of you.
Okay.
And there's some common trait, or there's something that sometimes you'll stop yourself and you'll think, oh, that's just like her. Or you'll have a moment where you're doing something and your mind is completely blank and she'll fill up your mind. At that moment, whatever that is, that is what she left for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, when Anissa, she freaked me the fuck out.
But anyways. And I'll think more about that. There's more to that, but I haven't. Bricks. Does she have some bricks or some stairs or some? There's something with the bricks. Okay.
So, yeah. So thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Yes.
Of course, you're going to be, she's like our. She's like our sidekick. She's
little sister.
She gives some unofficially hysterical. Official little
sister. Although as soon as you said your mom was like in menopause, I'm like, oh, great. Now we're mothers.
I know. Now we're she's very, she's got her opinions, her perspective is refreshing and hysterical at times. So we're going to bring her back, back to help us and back to weigh in on some things as well. But
what an honor. Thank you for coming in, and thank you for listening to the podcast. You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms.
You can visit atlpn.com, atlpodcastnetwork.com. It's Atlanta Podcast Network, on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and boom, now Spotify.
And just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show.
And you can follow us on Facebook. Yep. It's the private group page is Anissa and Ellen, Real Authentic Women. The group, the public page is Anissa Ellen Raw. Website?
AnissaEllenRaw.com. At Anissa Ellen Raw.
Raw.
Yeah. So you get the hint, right? Yes.
We also have personal pages you can follow as well. Yep. Ellen Nicol, that's ELLENNICOLL.
Yep. And I'm at Anissa Amison, which I'm not even going to spell it for you because good luck.
You'll find it. And then Christina's is odd. What is yours?
Yeah, what's Zupper Mommy?
My Insta is Zupper Mommy 3. Because I am not only super, I'm Zupper.
I love it.
Zupper Mommy 3.
So that's
all right, so thanks for listening. And we will be back next week with an all new guest. And we absolutely can't wait to see you then.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bump, bump.